I'm very glad to be here. It's my privilege. I haven't gotten to meet all of you. Some of you that were here yesterday, how many of you had already come in yesterday for church? Can I see your hand? All right. So I guess you did hear me in the morning and the evening. In 1986, I sat where you sat as a brand new college student. I traveled from the state of Florida all the way to the state of Indiana. And 17 years old, all alone, didn't know anybody, and just following the call of God in my life. I understand the anxiety. I understand a little bit of the fear. I also understand some of the excitement that you have right now of what God has placed into your life and your heart to do. And I can truly resonate with where you are. Now, I know it's been a few years ago. That was in 1986. You're doing the math and you're saying this guy is ancient. But I truly understand what it is to leave home, to follow a call, to prepare a life, to work your way through college, to find a mate. I found my mate at my Bible college. And how many of you, not with uplifted hand, are hoping that that is your same result as well? But you may find your life's mate may be seated in this room even now. I don't know what the calling of God is going to do in your life. I don't know where the calling of God is going to take you. But I do know and promise you that it's going to be a great journey. If you're following the Lord, it's going to be a great journey, I promise you. And I want to help you a little bit from the book of Joshua this morning, please. Joshua chapter number 3. And I just want to say I love Christian college students. I love the potential that is seated in this room. I myself went to Bible college. Both of my daughters have gone to Bible college. And it was a great, great decision. You have made a great decision in your life to follow God's call to Northeast Baptist College. So it'll be my privilege, the Lord being my helper, to preach today, tomorrow, and Wednesday in chapel. And then please pray because I've got to preach tonight, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night as well. And so I'm asking God to give us the clarity and the voice to do so. I know we're only going to keep our chapel to about 30 minutes. And so instead of preaching what I thought was going to be a one sermon, one session sermon, I'm actually going to break it into two points. Going to break it into two parts. Today will be part number one, tomorrow will be part number two, and then Lord willing, I'll give you a great thought on Wednesday before we leave this revival service. I want to talk to you on the subject of go after it. And we find it in our text this morning, Joshua chapter number 3, and I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, to stand. Why don't you take a moment to stand out of respect for the reading of God's word this morning. And I'm going to ask you to read, if you don't mind, verses 1, 2, and 3. You'll find our text and the title, the last phrase of verse number 3. And when you get there, I'd like you to say those three words nice and strong. All right? So I'm going to ask you to read starting in verse number 1. I'm going to back out. I'll let you read, save my voice just a little bit, and then we'll get to verse number 3 and pray. All right? Here we go. Ready? And you did well on those last three words. Go after it. Let's pray. Father, we need your help this morning, as we always do when we come to the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, I need your help today. I'm weak in voice, frail in flesh. But Lord, I pray that you would step in the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God would take this message and these thoughts and this passage, And Lord, as we'll seek to apply it now to this amazing group of young people here at Northeast Baptist College. Lord, I don't know all of these folks. I don't know what years of education they're in. I think about some of these that are seniors. Lord, they're about to enter into the calling that you've placed in their life. Maybe some are engaged to be married. Or there may be some that are just freshmen. They're brand new today. And Lord, I pray that the story of Joshua and these people standing at the brink of the River Jordan, God, that it would help us to find some application to their life. Lord, what you're going to call them to do, to go after it. So Lord, I pray that you would take all the distractions away, please, and may we only hear from you. And I'll ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And you may be seated. In this passage, I told the teenagers, it sounds like I'm going through puberty, doesn't it? I think I did that a long time ago, Lord willing. In this passage, as you know, and as you will study it, I find a very young leader comparative to the older leader that he was going to succeed. In the story, Moses has died at 120 years of age. He's passed off the scene. Moses had a servant by the name of Joshua. If you remember, Joshua and Caleb, this duo of once young men and young leaders serving the man of God, Moses, they have now wandered through the wilderness for 40 years. Everybody else in their peer group has passed on. You remember the story how that because of the disobedience of not going into the land of promise, the land of Canaan, when they should have, there was a curse that was placed upon the nation of Israel, and God said, everybody that is 20 years old and older is going to die. You will not see the promised land. However, because of Joshua and Caleb and their desire and their spirit to follow the Lord wholly, they were allowed to lead the people into the promised land. It's an amazing story here that we find in Joshua chapter number 3, because they're coming up against, once again, a body of water that they cannot ford themselves. They're wondering, how are they going to cross over the Jordan? How are we going to take the land? We know that there are giants in the land. We understand the evil report that had been brought 40 years earlier. And how is God going to do this? And truly, is this the promise that God is giving to his people? And so we find a younger leader comparative to Moses, watch this, but he is speaking to a younger crowd than himself. He is talking to some of these now that maybe had been born in the wilderness. He's talking to some of these who were only teenagers when their moms and dads had not crossed over 40 years earlier. And so now they are at a different era or time of their life. And in our text in chapter number 3, in verse number 3 that I had you read just a moment ago, there are three words that Joshua is giving to the nation of Israel. It's kind of the cry, the battle cry, as it were. He is allowing them to have some courage. He's saying, look, you're not in this thing alone. And we'll talk about why they could cross over Jordan with great promise and knowledge that God was going to take care of them. And he says three words, go after it. Now, I know that may sound as if it's a worldly mantra. It may sound as if it's just a secular cliche. We might say, go get it. If you see it and like it, go after it. Maybe even as the world says, if it feels good, then just do it. But I want to allow you to see this text, these three words, not from a worldly standpoint, but rather from a biblical story where Joshua is encouraging the people to go after it. Moses has died. Joshua has now succeeded him. Notice in verse 7, if you don't mind, please. And I'm going to begin to talk very plainly. And this is probably because of the weakness of my voice. It's not going to be maybe the sermon that I thought I was going to preach this morning. Sometimes God has better plans, amen? And we always have to just follow Him. I want to encourage some of you, the younger leaders coming behind me. We have Dr. Townsley would maybe represent the Moses generation, if we can say it that way. We respect Dr. Townsley. I respect him. I believe you respect him. You would not be here in this chapel if you did not have a high regard for who this man of God is. And we're not just teasingly saying you're the old generation like Moses. We are saying we are thankful for that generation. God used Moses in a great and mighty way. Would you agree with me about that? But Moses is now passed off the scene. There's another generation that is coming. Maybe I can represent the Joshua generation. The ones that have seen what God did, the older generation, in the past generation. But now He has allowed me in this setting to be able to talk to the younger leaders that are coming behind me. And I want you to notice in verse number 7, look at it please, Joshua 3. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that, read with me, ready, as I was with Moses, so I will be. Hey, it may be a different generation, but it's not a different God. The generation of Dr. Townsley and all of the great church building, we talked at lunch yesterday about Tennessee Temple and Dr. Lee Robertson, and that's where he went to college many decades and eons ago, amen? I think Noah was in his freshman class with him, amen? But we think about the great church builders of the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the great works of God. Before you were ever born, as I was just coming up, born in 1968 and in the mid-70s as a child, the Christian education movement and pastor schools and Jack Hiles and Lee Robertson and Tom Malone and the Lester Roloffs, they're only names to you, but that generation has now passed off the scene. And as it were, the power of God and the presence of God needs to be passed down to your generation. I want to take it from the past generation. I'd like to tell you what God's done in the last 30 years of my life and my ministry, and allow God to say He can do it in your life and your world as well. In your generation as well. And notice He said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And can I just say, please, can I just brag on God just a little bit? I gave my life to the Lord at the age of 5. I was called to preach at the age of 13. I went to Bible college at the age of 17. And for 32 years, I've been serving my Lord faithfully in pastorates and just giving my life to Jesus Christ. And may I say, there's no better life to live than that. I've seen the power of God. I've seen the work of God. I've understood the walk with God. I've been able to see people saved and discipled and grow and stayed in places long enough to watch them start in kindergarten and then marry them when they find their spouse. I'm so thankful that the God of Moses was still the God of my life and my ministry. But may I say to you, it's not going to stop with my ministry. It needs to go to your generation as well. But you have to go after it. Joshua was saying to the people, let's learn from what happened 40 years ago. We cannot stay on this side of the Jordan. We must go over. And may I say that some in your generation are saying, all the old paths don't work any longer, and that old time religion doesn't work any longer. Just stay on this side where it's comfortable. May I say to you, please, don't listen to that. Rather, go after it. And we're going to find out what that it is as we find our way and traverse our way through this message. So there was a new generation that has now come on the scene. Due to the lack of faith and the unwillingness to follow 40 years prior, it allowed this generation to also have some doubts. And can I just say that unfortunately there we are seeing my generation that maybe is turning back from where we once stood as well. I hurt for my generation. I hurt for those men who are changing. I hurt for those men who are following a different path. Going away from our King James Bible. Going away from standards of holiness and separation. thinking that there's a better way with a different set of values or different music or different standards, so-called. And they're throwing away these things. And may I say, what's happening is that your generation is now paying a heavier price because of what my generation has thrown away. And can I just say, please, I'm sorry. I apologize on behalf of my generation. And I understand that I cannot control everyone that was in my graduating class. I understand that, and I'm not casting aspersion or judgment upon anybody. What I'm saying is that we know what is right. We know what the God of Moses was able to do. We have seen for 40 years the wilderness and the miracles there. Why can God not continue to do those same miracles to get us across the Jordan into the promised land?
Yeah.
And I just want to encourage you, there's a promised land awaiting on the other side of the Jordan.
Yes,
and maybe you're standing and looking and saying, but college is between me and the promised land. I got to pay all these bills. In fact, I have no help from home financially. I'm going to have to get a job. I'm going to have to work while I go to college. Well, boo-hoo, so does everybody else.
Amen.
Amen. Don't let the federal government pay your bills. Amen.
Amen.
I'm just trying to say, you serve a great God, friends. And if you are following the call of God in your life, just go after it. Go after it. Don't let the others that maybe are sitting home and taking the easy route. May I say to this generation, please follow your God. There was a younger crowd of God's people that are now moving into a new era of their lives. You're entering into a new era of your life right now. I don't know if you've studied much the different names of the generations. We may say there was the World War II generation, and then that generation when they came back after the war, the baby boomers, that would have been my mom and dad's generation. My generation, Generation X, so-called. We find the millennials, those that were born in the late 80s up to about 1999 or so. And then we get to your generation, Generation Z. They're often called Gen Z or iGen. That's your generation. Whatever the name or the moniker is that you are called, you are still called to still follow a God that has not changed.
Yeah, right. Yes,
did you hear what I said? A God that has not changed. And that's what's happening in this generation. This generation of young people are now becoming leaders in their own right. And may I just say, you likewise are becoming a leader in your own right. Do you understand that some of you men in the next 3, 4, 5 years will maybe be pastoring churches or going on deputation to a mission field? Some of you guys are going to be married. You're going to have the responsibility of a wife and children. Some of you ladies are going to be teaching elementary children or in a secondary setting, teaching in a Christian school. Maybe you will be called to the mission field, or maybe you'll marry a pastor, become a pastor's wife. I don't know what the call of God that He's placed in your life, but may I say to you, I'm looking, Dr. Townsley, I'm looking at the next generation of leaders right here. And you're entering into this new season where you're going to have to cross over the Jordan River. You're going to have to put your fears away and rather let faith overcome your fear. You're going to have to say, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing in my life. I just want you to let me know so I can follow. I love the old song, and I'd sing it for you if I had voice this morning. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all I need for tomorrow. And I just want to encourage you, I guess, these thoughts, a couple of thoughts this morning laying the foundation, and then tomorrow, Lord willing, to allow us to take the text and define what these areas are that we are to go after. Life is full of seasons. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 1, you know the statement. To everything there is a season and a purpose for everything under the sun. You know there's a purpose that God has brought you to New England Baptist College. You could have chosen any other Bible college. And there are some great, great Bible colleges out there. I said this yesterday. I have the privilege. I'm living now in New Jersey. Go to Solid Rock Baptist Church. I'm teaching a course this year on ministry ethics to Vision Baptist College. Vision Baptist College, a great college. Great colleges that are all over the country. But you've chosen this one. God has brought you here. You are now entering into a new season of life. And this season is going to be full of purpose. Do you know that even older people go through seasons of life? I'm 53. I mentioned just a moment ago different seasons of my life. At 17, went to Bible college. At 21, entered into my first year of assistant pastoral ministry. 5 years later, God said, I want you to pastor your own church. So you're looking at a man that was 26, and he was the senior pastor. If that is not an oxymoron, I don't know. Maybe it was just moronic. I don't know. Maybe I was the moron. But can you imagine at 26 pastoring a group of people? And for 18 years, the Lord allowed me to pastor in Delaware, Ohio. I told Dr. Townsley this at lunch yesterday. I felt as if that I would be in Ohio at Grace Baptist Church for my entire life in ministry. It was my plan to stay there forever. I'd put 18 years there. We had grown from 35 people to almost 500 people. And we had built buildings and we had Christian schools and the missions programs. And we had planted 3 churches. And I was 44 years of age and God came knocking on my door. 2013 was a year that everything changed in my life. I thought I was settled. I thought I knew where I was. I thought I was planted for life. We were happy. We had reared our girls there. My wife was happy. We loved the ministry. We loved our church. And I won't get into all the details, but seasons of life sometimes bring change. Just like the fall season will bring change to the leaves and the colors, and the leaves will fall and winter will come. God took me to the state of West Virginia to a broken church. For whatever reason, my next assignment, after really fighting with God for about 5 months, Lord, I don't want to do this. I'm settled where I am. We're happy where we are. We have 18 years here. Please just let us stay. But God made it very clear that my Jordan was to move to the state of West Virginia and take a broken church. And for the last 9 years, that's where I've been. We've been just working away and happy serving Jesus. And then last January, God came knocking on my door again. And for whatever reason, he's taken me out of the pastorate after 32 years and placed me into a ministry of mentoring younger pastors. And that's my heart's desire now, and that's what my life is going to be entailed. But may I say to you, there was a lot of fear and angst, a lot of anxiety that comes when change happens. And God, why? And I don't understand all of it. And really what he was just saying was, just keep going after it. Just keep going after it. Here's what I'm saying, guys. Listen, ladies. I'm saying it's not just young people that have to deal with change. We have to be sensitive enough to know, even as an older Christian, as an older pastor, that this is where God is leading me. Where's God leading you? What is it that you are supposed to go after? Can I just say, please, as we're going to kind of wrap this chapel session up, there's a lot of vulnerability that takes place. You feel very vulnerable when you're in the midst of change. You know, that's why God says that he is a shepherd to us. The sheep don't always know where to go, do they? They don't always know where the still waters are and the green pastures, and that's why a shepherd is given to them. And I just want to encourage all of us here, and you particularly, you young leaders, as you are getting ready to step into the calling of God in your life, you're going to feel very vulnerable. You're coming out of a tumultuous season of life known as your teenage years. Some of you maybe have not had good teenage years. Maybe some of you, I talked to some of you yesterday, you're brand new Christians. You've only been saved a year or two. And now you're entering into the call of God and you're in a Bible college. Can I just say, the seasons of change, Satan will use them in your life if you're not careful. He'll use them against you if you're not careful. They need not bring fear, though. The Bible is very clear that we need to exercise faith over our fears. And even in the times of vulnerability and change, it's time for you to step up and step into the new season of leadership in your life. It's time to move from immaturity to maturity. 1 Corinthians 13 and 11, Paul said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." Hey guys, it's time now to step up. You're a God-called man. Did you hear me?
Yes, sir.
A God-called man. God needs men to preach the gospel in 20 and 22.
Yeah.
They're not surrendering like they once did. We were talking at lunch about that. And it's unfortunate in our generation. But thank God that there are some that are still saying yes to the call of God. And may I say to you, you're going to have to put away your childish things. It's time to grow up. You're at college now. This is not junior high school. This is not elementary. It's time to grow up. It's time to work hard. It's time to get up when the alarm clock goes off. It's time to go to work when it's time to go to work. It's time to study when it's time to study. It's time to be prepared for those tests and those projects. Why? Because you are preparing your life to serve Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so it's in that season, you're looking at that Jordan River and you're saying, wow, so much fear, so much tumult. I don't know that I can cross over. May I say to you, yes, you can, if you'll just very simply go after it.
Amen.
Just go after it. I'll leave you with this statement and we'll be done. I use this often with teenagers. I use this often when I'm preaching to college kids. And if you're a note taker, you want to write down three words that start with the letter I. It's just a phrase, three sentences, but I want you to really look at these three words. And then we'll pick up here tomorrow, and then we'll get into the text in Joshua chapter number 3. And I'll show you three ways that you can go after it. Can you write this statement down? Because of life's importance, that's the I word, because of life's importance, there is a definite incumbence. That's not a word we use all that often. The word incumbence means that necessity is laid upon me. It's necessary that I do this. Because of life's importance, there is a definite incumbence. Number 3, to not move forward in ignorance. To not move forward in ignorance. So we have the words importance, incumbence, and ignorance. And can I just say, please, as we close this morning, I don't want you to move into this next season of life without having all of the knowledge and wisdom of God that you need to do so. Don't do so ignorantly. Can I teach you something here? Do you know what the root word of ignorance is? It's the word ignore. Ignorance. Do you know that sometimes people stay ignorant because they ignore what is being taught them? Have you ever thought about that? That sometimes maybe you don't move forward because you're ignoring the call of God in your life. Or you're ignoring the advice or counsel of your pastor or your parents. And instead of just moving forward, you ignore that and you remain ignorant of the truth or the wisdom of God that He intended to give to you. And that's what happened 40 years earlier. They chose to ignore that God had a promised land for them. And they said, no, we can't do that. And they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. I don't want you wandering. I want you taking ground. I want you possessing the land. And that's what Joshua enabled them to do. Watch this. Your generation, I want you to cross over Jordan, go after it, so that you can know the promised land that God has for you. Would you bow your head with me, please?